I want to thank everybody for attending our webinar today, as well as introduce myself. My name is Dave Dunaway. I manage the groundwater protection and water reuse value streams for ADEQ. This is the program or the place or the department, however you want to phrase it, where the underground injection control program will live. So thank you very much for attending. And then I apologize for the technical difficulties, but looks like we got them straightened out pretty quick. What are we here today to talk about? In general, UIC program background, major UIC primacy tasks. We're going to try to catch everybody up to speed about what UIC is, where we are with the process, discuss the draft program rules, stakeholder review process, and conclude with an ask for your feedback. As part of the efforts to catch everybody up to speed, just in general, a brief description of what underground injection control is. Anytime that you place a fluid underground, just what it says on the tin, you do run the risk of impairing a drinking water, an underground source of drinking water. So Section 1421 of the Safe Drinking Water Act ultimately establishes a program to regulate these wells that inject fluids into aquifers to protect the underground sources of drinking water, and establishes that underground injection activities are prohibited unless you qualify for authorization by rule or have an express permit from the permitting agency. I also want to touch a bit about the why ADEQ is pursuing this. One of the big key drivers of this is that there's a statute requiring ADEQ to obtain the UIC program. That's ARS 49203 for the folks who are keeping track at home. But also, DEQ believes that we can, A, issue permits faster than the EPA can, but also have more effective enforcement through local control. And then also, as we look into our crystal ball and way forward, I think we anticipate a number of municipal disposal wells. And for folks that are looking at the presentation, we have an example on the lower left from a brine injection system in San Antonio. As the state of Arizona has to chase more and more saline sources of drinking water, we anticipate brine injection wells becoming a bigger and bigger deal. Also, as we're about to touch on the lower right-hand side of the slide, you can see a stormwater dry well that this morning I'm very thankful we have out front as we had a storm blow through this morning. Always exciting. To give a bit of scope about what is governed under underground injection control, it's simultaneously very big and a very small universe. UIC wells come in six different flavors. Number one are the municipal disposal wells used to inject waste underground. Class two, more of the oil and gas wells, or more specifically, the fluids used, the injection of fluids associated with them. Class three are solution mining projects where you are injecting fluids to dissolve and extract minerals. Class four wells are wells used to inject hazardous waste. I will point out that these are prohibited. Class five is the really big universe. This covers everything from stormwater dry wells that we saw on the previous slide, large capacity septic systems, as well as aquifer storage and recharge projects. Class six, the newest class, this is going to be used for carbon sequestration, the injection of carbon dioxide into underground rock formations. When we were talking earlier about authorization by rule, that's where the class five world really comes into play. When we're talking about major tasks for ADEQ's primacy in UIC, or basically where are we now? At the tail end of 2019, ADEQ is drafting the UIC program rules. This is phase one. This is largely an adaptation of the EPA UIC rules. Folks familiar with what the Underground Injection Control Program looks at the federal level, really you're not in for any surprises in the draft rule. And we're about the part now where we want informal stakeholder feedback on this rule. Phase two of this, also tied towards drafting rules, albeit one of a different stripe, we're going to be working on the licensing timeframe as well as fee packages needed to not only obtain the program but make sure it's a healthy one going forward. Also scheduled for later this year is the beginning of our formal rulemaking process. As a heads up, the notice of rulemaking docket opening was published with the Secretary of State's office September 27th of this year. Next year, we're going to be applying for primacy. This is going to include things beyond just the rule. It's going to include a letter from Arizona's governor, a program description, an attorney general statement, a memorandum of agreement between the EPA and ADEQ, as well as other program bits required in the Code of Federal Regulations. Once that's all done, we're going to submit the application to the EPA. The EPA then will review and approve the program. I want to talk a bit about the philosophy of what DEQ is doing with the draft rules. Again, folks that are familiar with the federal rule know that it lives in a couple of different places. You've got a little bit in 40 CFR 124, a little bit in 40 CFR 144, a little bit more in 40 CFR 146, as well as tying it to other areas of the Safe Drinking Water Act that includes the National Primary Drinking Water Standards. What the DEQ is doing is trying to merge this into a one-stop shop where as much as needed for customers to implement the rule will live in Title 18, Chapter 9, Article 6. And that was a whole lot of descriptions of CFRs. So to put that into a bit more plain verbiage, there are general requirements for the UIC program, authorization by permit to cover all of the well classes, authorization by rule for certain Class 5 wells, technical requirements that are specific to each well class, as well as public participation. And the friendly blue octagon indicates our intent with this is to have a one-stop shop for the program rules. We want clear, concise, and streamlined permitting process. We are ensuring that Arizona is as careful and as environmentally protective as administering the program as the EPA currently. We need a rule in a program that ensures coordination and alignment between ADEQ and EPA, because in cases where there is an aquifer exemption that is not fully done by ADEQ, there is a portion of that that is also still going to be approved by the EPA. We very much want a robust public participation process. So stakeholder feedback, customer feedback doesn't just end with the informal process. The intent is for that to propagate through the program itself. Other guiding principles and design values, as well as feedback that we've taken from our customers in this case and stakeholders, is to ensure that Arizona's UIC program meets other applicable federal program requirements, including tribal consultation. This is something that we've taken in through various earlier informal feedback sessions as early as 2 years ago. So we want to provide an update in where we are in response to that. One of the things that's important to keep in mind is that NEPA is currently not a requirement of the UIC permitting process at the federal level. There seems to have been some conflation that, hey, EPA has been doing NEPA activities, and this is the environmental impact statements, and they're not doing that around underground injection control activities, although it's something we're familiar with in other areas. Also important to note that while the National Historic Preservation Act requirements will not be part of Arizona's program, Arizona ADEQ is obligated to follow the State Historic Preservation Act requirements. So our permitting program, our whole program overall, is required to be compliant with the Arizona State Preservation Act. Finally, the Endangered Species Act, Section 7 will not apply to the state program. However, ADEQ, as well as any citizen entity or organization, is still required to meet the requirements of Section 9. And so you, for instance, can't take an endangered species. Everyone has to, everyone is governed by that that bit of federal rule. That obviously will continue. What's also in progress and part of a key design element and something that I'm really pleased, quite honestly, to see ADEQ take additional steps in over the 5 years I've been here at the agency is tribal consultation. Our guiding principle here is to make sure that we're doing effective tribal consultation. We want a partnership between the state and the tribal nations. That's only going to be facilitated through better communication and ultimately leading to a mutual understanding between ADEQ and Arizona's 22 sovereign tribal nations. And this is important to drill down a bit more into making sure that we understand the factors important to each sovereign nation as well as the state. Communicating the process regarding acquisition of UIC primacy, as well as developing positive future interactions between tribal nations and the state beyond just obtaining the program. It is always ADEQ's goal to not just get the program, but develop a program, maintain a program that is protective of human health and environment. Part of that is a robust stakeholder rule review. This starts with the notice of rulemaking. The docket opening towards that began in September 27th of this year. Where we are now is an informal stakeholder review of the draft UIC program review. So the webinar we're having right now, November 6th. We would like comments, the informal comments on our draft rule, really by the end of November. We've listed here November 26th. I will point out that that's when we would like them. However, as I'm fond of saying to both staff as well as the community at large, really no good idea ever goes to waste. We are committing to having an informal stakeholder review follow-up meeting on December 13th, where we're going to summarize the comments that we received and how we've implemented those comments or why we are unable to implement those comments. Spring-summer 2020 sees the beginning of the more formalized rule process. So the notice of proposed rulemaking, the official formal public hearings, and then the notice of final rulemaking, as well as the governor's regulatory review council process. So at this point, I want to reiterate kind of the purpose of this webinar is not just to update where we are, but also solicit feedback from you. We want a good program, right? And a good program is going to begin with rules that are interpretable, for lack of a better word, or clear, understandable. We're looking for that. We're looking for feedback that leads to an understandable, clear rule. So what we're interested in is what is good, what is wrong, what is missing, and what is unclear. And the process for this is that we are going to be sending a gov delivery message, basically an email for folks that have already signed up, with a link to the draft rule by next week, next Wednesday, more specifically, November 13th. So there will be a portion of ADEQ's webpage already dedicated to the Underground Injection Control Program. You're going to find a copy of the draft rules there. We're also going to utilize the Gov Delivery mail service to mail you out a copy. Again, our commitment is to have an additional meeting December 13th where we discuss the comments, certainly more specifically, but also describe what ADEQ will be doing with those comments. We're also going to utilize Gov Delivery to send out an invitation to that meeting. So here is my request, not only to review the draft rules, but also if you know someone who is interested in subscribing to the Gov Delivery service, please have them go to ADEQ's webpage. It is easy to sign up. As part of the draft rule, do note that we have provided references to the federal rule citations as part of this. For me, at least, it's been very helpful to make sure that the relevant bits of federal rule have made its way into the state rule. That is not going to be part of the official public rule, but it is useful, again, in the interim to understand where things are coming from. In summary, and this is important enough to repeat several times, it is important to us as an agency that you, our customers, understand when the rules apply to you and what that applicability means. What does that look like to you? Is it able to be understood? So more specifically, we're looking for feedback on, is the applicability section clear? Are requirements clear for Class 1 brine disposal and Class 6 carbon sequestration wells? And again, I'll touch on my earlier comments, knowing that there's folks from Arizona's major cities on the line. I do anticipate a big demand for Class 1 municipal disposal wells here in the near future. And then the last thing I want our customers' voice on, more specifically, is in the draft UIC rules, there's language to the effect of you have to show sufficient financial responsibility to the director. And in our opinion, that's a little vague, so we would like voice of the customer on what might be a better replacement for that. For example, would it make sense to use similar language to what already exists in the aquifer protection permit rules? Would that provide more clarity on the situation? In summary, I want to thank everybody for attending. Would just like to call out one more bit of the philosophy of what DEQ is trying to achieve with the draft UIC rules, is that ADEQ is in a position statutorily where we can be no more stringent than the EPA without additional statutory authority. And while we have the statutory mandate to go get the program, we don't have anything else allowing us to be more stringent than the EPA. At the same time, in order to obtain the program from the EPA, we have to be just as stringent and as environmentally protective as the EPA currently is in rule. So this is a very fine line that we have to walk. And I want to reiterate this because while we've appreciated the comments towards doing additional environmental protection beyond what the EPA has done, that's something that we as an agency don't have the statutory authority to do. So I want to make sure we're all on the same page regarding that, because again, it's a very fine line that that we have to walk. And what we're interested in is a rule that prepares for Arizona's future growth and additional use of technology. For example, we want to be prepared to safely dispose of brines that will be generated as Arizona's population grows, and drinking water must be produced from lower quality sources. We also want to be prepared for Arizona to be on the forefront, if possible, of carbon sequestration projects. As many of you know, we've had one experimental carbon sequestration project in northern Arizona several years ago. So to sum up, thank you very much for your attendance here. We are very much looking forward to your feedback on the draft rules. Again, DEQ will have that out on our website and through Gov Delivery by next Wednesday. So I'll leave you with this last slide of here's how you can subscribe. We're looking for the UIC Primacy Stakeholders List. Worst case scenario for any of that, you can certainly reach us by via email at uic@azdeq.gov. David, I hear we've got two questions from the chat.
Indeed. Can you explain Section 9 under ESA? I'm not familiar with it.
So I unfortunately am not the right person to be able to distill this down, unfortunately. I think that this is something that we'll probably use in the next stakeholder meeting to kind of unpack that a little bit. I've been part of the discussions about what this is. However, I don't want to misspeak, and I think I'm in danger of doing that. The nutshell version is, though, these are the things that everyone is obligated to follow as part of federal rule anyway. So I apologize for that. I think we will make sure that that's part of the discussion for the next stakeholder meeting.
Next question. Without NEPA, will any kind of environmental assessment be done?
So environmental assessments go beyond NEPA. I'm very proud of ADEQ, at least on the APP permitting side. I'm very proud of ADEQ's very thorough environmental assessment that we have the authority to do. So I envision that similar technical excellence and robust review continuing under UIC. Environmental protection goes far, far beyond NEPA in my mind.
One more question. Do you anticipate adding any new class of wells that currently are not being used?
I may be getting the question wrong, so feel free to follow up. As we back up on the slide, thank goodness for the clicker. When we were discussing the, I think I called them flavors of UIC wells, ADQ is obtaining primacy for all classes of wells. So even when you when we're showing the number of current facilities in Arizona, class one wells, for instance, we don't have any of them. We are still obtaining primacy to cover that class. DEQ wouldn't have the authority to add additional classes of wells. But in the event that the EPA adds an additional class of wells, ADEQ is required to update our rule package to be in line with EPA. So I hope I answered your question sufficiently, but if not, please follow up because that was a really good one.
Clarification on the 13-day target comment window.
We would greatly appreciate your comments as soon as possible. We are going to acknowledge that it is, goodness, about 45, 50 pages of rules, which is a lot to digest. The sooner we get the comments, the quicker we can read, interpret, and actually do something with them. Your ability to comment does not magically switch off after 13 days. We're still able to take them and evaluate them and utilize them as appropriate. In general, people tend to benefit from having a deadline. So while I certainly can't hold anyone to that, and again, your comment ability does not magically turn off on the 27th, we would appreciate comments by that time. Yeah, so then we will also have the ability for more formal comments as we go through the rulemaking process.
How will Arizona's narrative of aquifer water quality standards be included in the UIC program?
The draft rules do not cite any existing aquifer protection rules. They are their own thing. In my mind, this enables Arizona to have a more full and complete environmentally protective program. So where the APP program, the philosophy is really engineering controls and monitoring. The UIC philosophy is more about strict prohibitions against impact. As a program manager, I see these two philosophies working really nicely in concert with one another, but the UIC program itself does not contain any references to Arizona's existing APP program.
Will a formal document be produced regarding environmental impact for the public to see?
There is in the UIC rule the requirements to do what is called a fact sheet. It's not something that has the full scope of what has been done as part of an environmental impact statement, but we do feel meets the intent of the broader community and customers who are interested in understanding what a project is, what the environmental impact may be. Again, the fact sheet, which some of you may be familiar with under the APP program, there is something in UIC that is a requirement, very similar in scope, that I feel addresses those concerns.
Will the UIC program seek to define the statement, quote, drinking water protected use, unquote, for aquifers?
Could I get that question one more time, please, David?
Will the UIC program seek to define the statement, drinking water protected use, for aquifers?
So it is, more specifically, we are here to protect underground sources of drinking water, which I believe is defined in the state rule. So the answer to that is yes, and perhaps I misspoke earlier.
Please clarify why the 13 days is a condition from the agency's management of this process.
So again, no, it's not a condition. We will take informal comments just as we will formal comments. The thing that I'm trying to be cognizant of, my team is in the room right now, their schedules and their ability to do as good of a job as possible.
Who is the EPA Region 9 point of contact for this effort?
So the person, I think, managing EPA's their end of this project is Kate Rao, and I think, David, we should be able to, if we can get that person's email address, we can provide Kate's email address as well. So we can exchange that. Happy to do so. All right, folks, hearing that was it, again, would like to thank you very much, and I'm very much looking forward to getting your comments on our draft rules. If you have any additional questions, please feel free to send them to uic@azdeq.gov. So again, want to thank you all for your participation, and have a good rest of your Wednesday.